It's time for Mind Your Business on 710 WOR and the iHeartRadio Network to present the weekly business radio show produced by the award-winning marketing firm Bottom Line Marketing Group, BLMG, sharing business and marketing strategies to make you and your business successful. Now, here's your host, the president and founder of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Saflis.
Hello, hello, and thank you for joining me here on another edition of Mind Your Business, broadcasting throughout the New York, New Jersey metro area, right here on 710 WOR, the voice of New York, and throughout the world on the powerful iHeartRadio network. Yes, the Nielsen ratings came in. We check on it regularly. Why? Because that's really the credibility factor, the fact that we consistently come in the top 10 in New York AM radio. This show on AM radio on Sunday night is a testament to the great guests that we have week in and week out, because that's what the listeners have come to expect. Great business content that could make you successful in what you do and help you get ahead in today's business world. And we've featured so many incredible guests over the years. Steven Sadoff, the former CEO of Saks Fifth Avenue. Beth Comstock, former vice chair and CMO at General Electric. John Sculley, the former CEO of Apple and Pepsi, and the list goes on and on. They're all available by going to mybradio.com, and that's where you'll see the links to, if you like to consume, you like listening to podcasts on Spotify, it's there on Spotify, we're on iTunes, etc. And we have a robust YouTube channel. On YouTube channel, all the episodes that were recorded by video are up there on YouTube. On YouTube, we're at 710 WOR Mind Your Business. Again, on YouTube, 710 WOR Mind Your Business. Just a couple of other thank yous before I get to my incredible guests. A special thank you to the great team here at BLMG, who plays an incredible support role in making sure that the show goes up without a hitch, week in and week out. Suruli, Michal, Betzal, Brocha, Michael, Miriam, Nachi, thank you. Thank you to Darren and Peter at 710 WOR and the iHeartRadio Network. And of course, to you, the great listeners of this program, who have come to expect incredible business content. Before I get to my guests, a special thank you to Dawn, who made this all happen. Tonight's guest, John Giordano, partner, co-leader manufacturing and distribution practice at Citrin Cooperman. John Giordano has more than 15 years of experience providing accounting and assurance services for middle market businesses and their owners. His clients span the manufacturing and distribution, construction, property management, retail, and wholesale industries. Established over four decades ago, back in 1979, Citrin Cooperman is one of the nation's largest professional services firms, helping companies and high net worth individuals find smart solutions. They focus on industry specialization, where advisors ensure clients are educated on the latest trends and regulations that impact their industry. On tonight's edition of Mind Your Business, we will address manufacturing and distribution. Wow, what an issue these days, especially over the last 6 months. Understanding the ins and outs, well, how complicated that is, even before the beginning of 2022, but especially now. Lease accounting and the impact it has on a company's financial statements. And inventory management, how to be successful within that space. No pun intended there. With that intro, we give a warm welcome, John Giordano. Welcome to Mind Your Business.
Thank you very much, Yitzhak. Great to be here and really appreciate the opportunity to speak with you today.
Thank you. So tell us about your background.
Yeah, so as you mentioned in the opening, I'm a partner here at Citrin Cooperman. I joined the industry about 20 years ago. I joined my first firm when I graduated from Marist College. And in November of 2014, I made the transition to Citrin when my previous firm started to kind of break apart a little bit. So 20 or so professionals came over here. I mostly sit on the assurance and advisory side. And like you said, I specialize in manufacturing distribution companies. Primarily the middle market is our sweet spot. And it's really how I've built up my customer base. And I'm based right here in Melville, Long Island. So it's really just a quick background on myself and the firm a little bit.
Now, the virtue of respect seems to have resonated with you in our conversations leading up to the show. Can you explain that, the idea and the importance of respect, and how that led you to where you are today?
I mean, you know, integrity and respect. I think without those, you really, it's very tough to do business. It really is. You know, it's very easy to see through certain people. And once you see through them, you really don't have the respect for them. Are you going to do business with that person? You might on a one-off occasion, but we feel, especially in our industry, you know, we need to be respected by our clients and we need to respect our clients as well. And also they do business with various different people, different industry providers. And when you build up a reputation of somebody that respects others, I think it just opens a whole magnitude of things on how you can grow your business, especially me as a professional, a young professional at that, at least I like to think I am. But, you know, we're in it for the long haul. So you never want to be known as, and I've always grown off of this background from my parents, my family, you know, be respectful. Whatever it may take, if somebody's disrespectful to you, you don't come back at it. You know, it's not an eye for an eye game. It's show respect, and that's how you gain respect overall. And I see it not only in business, but, you know, I coach a lot of youth sports and whatnot. So it's a thing, and it's, especially when you're dealing with kids or clients, whatever it is, you want to set that example of being respectful. And I think that's, I hate to say it, it's almost like a lost art today in some regard. I don't want to go that route,
yeah.
But you know what I mean in
yep.
a sense. Like,
yep.
I think we all could show a little bit more respect for each other. I think it would go a long way.
Yeah. And it's so beautiful how we're opening up the show with this, because of course we have a lot to discuss in terms of M&D and everything else in terms of
yeah.
your professional work. But at the end of the day, and I remember one of my guests was Joe Hart, the CEO of Dale Carnegie. And one of my questions to him was about hiring. How, you know, what do you look for in hiring? He said, number one is personality. Is the guy, you know, are they respectful? Are they respectful? Because if not, it goes downhill from there. They may be talented. It will last a week or two or a month or two, but then you can't deal with someone like that. And especially in the B2B space, even over B2C, like you said, if someone goes into a local store and you need to buy a pack of Band-Aids, okay, big deal. If the person's rude, whatever. But if it's B2B and the person's trusting, especially to a company that's handling the financial matters of any particular company, they want to deal with a team, a firm that's respectful, that's sensitive, that's confidential. Everything feeds from that base.
Yeah, I agree. And it's funny you touch on, you know, the employees and whatnot and the hiring practices. You know, many places like to build a culture, a certain type of culture. And when you're hiring, yes, skill set is one, but also do they fit within our culture? And, you know, and one of the main keys of that is, are you a respectful person? Are you going to be able to get along? We're team-oriented business. So, you know, it's not just a whole bunch of individuals. We work on a lot of our engagements and whatnot as teams. So if you're not going to have somebody that's respectful and gets along with the team, it's just, it's not going to go well.
Yeah, toxic.
I mean, the work will get done, but not as efficiently as you want.
Now, before we dive in, perhaps you could share a little bit about Citrin Cooperman, 4 decades plus.
Yeah, 4 decades plus. And one of the interesting trivia questions we always say is that the company was founded actually on seed money from a major rock band. So our co-founding partners used to work at a firm previously. They serviced said client, and when they decided to go out on their own, this rock band staked them the money to do so. So that's always a little tidbit that we like to throw out there. But like you mentioned in the opening, we're a top 20 firm. We have offices along both coasts now, on the East Coast servicing Boston Metro all the way down to DC Metro, and a handful of offices throughout the LA area in California, which mostly services our entertainment practice and is growing all different types of industries. We offer our clients a full suite of services here at the firm, not just, you know, your core tax and accounting, but there's a multitude of other different service offerings that we have that rival some of the larger firms. And we service, we go to market by industry. So we have a lot of different industry specializations, manufacturing, distribution, which I'll speak to you today about. But we also have real estate, construction, franchising, and a slew of other healthcare advisory. So it's all a handful, and, you know, we could direct people to the website afterwards. See, I don't want to take up too much time on this. But one of the things that I did want to mention is, you know, we did enter into a private equity transaction in 2021, which was really exciting for us as a partner, as a firm. It was really a monumental turn for us. So we are very excited on our path forward following that transaction. So,
excellent. We're going to go to a commercial break. Before I do, tonight's show brought to you in part by Citrin Cooperman. How could people find out more information about the firm?
The easiest way, it's always just directing to our website. We just overhauled it. Our marketing team did a phenomenal job.
Looks great.
And at repurposing that and putting that together. So I think that's probably the best way. All our information is there, easy to navigate, whether it's you're looking for a specific partner of ours or director, or you want to see the services we offer or the industries we service. It's all right there. So that would probably be the best way.
Yep. CitrinCooperman.com. Citrin spelled C-I-T-R-I-N. Cooperman.com. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
We're all in a rush these days. We're running to meetings, to finish a project. When do we have time to educate ourselves? Enter Business Class, the free daily 60-second video clip featuring advice from C-level executives and business giants such as Beth Comstock, Jeffrey Hazlett, Joe Hart, Shep Hyken, and many more. Follow us on Instagram at Business Class Clips. That's at Business Class Clips on Instagram. Or sign up for our WhatsApp daily broadcast by texting sign up to 718-594-6519 on WhatsApp. Get ready to get ahead.
Ever wished as you're sitting alone in a corner at one of those networking events that you could connect better with other people? Ever beat yourself up because you didn't speak up again at that meeting? Or been sweating buckets terrified before a presentation because you aren't confident about your public speaking skills? We've all been there. The good news is, you can change. For over 100 years, millions of lives have been transformed because of our courses at Dale Carnegie. We develop people's confidence, leadership abilities, communication skills, public speaking skills, and human relations. Both our public courses and customized corporate workshops have proven results. We all have goals, but only a limited amount of time to reach those goals. Let Dale Carnegie help you get there. For further information, visit us online at dalecarnegie.com. That's dalecarnegie.com, where you can explore all the training courses and regional locations that are available to you. dalecarnegie.com.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Ian Sixapolis right here on 710 WOR and the iHeartRadio Network. In case you tuned in late, where were you? We're having a very informative conversation with John Giordano. He is a partner at Citrin Cooperman, and we are about to start talking about manufacturing and distribution because part of John's oversight at Citrin Cooperman is manufacturing and distribution, and that is it. That was always a complicated space. However, since the beginning of January 2022, maybe even before, John will fill us in, that became extremely complicated. So, John, perhaps you can explain manufacturing and distribution, your role, and what in the world is going on.
Well, I can certainly explain manufacturing distribution in my world, but what's going on is pretty much anybody's guess these days. Things seem to be lightening up a little bit, but well, we'll see. We shall see. Yeah. So my role here with the firm is I co-lead our manufacturing distribution practice. We commonly refer to it as M&D. So what we do is we kind of oversee that practice for the entire firm. Anything from thought leadership, which is putting together articles. We'll talk about our survey later. Educating not only our staff, but also our clients and their accounting staff around it, practice management here at the firm. We develop certain client service offerings around it, things that we think cater more to manufacturing distribution companies and, you know, new relationship development. But really, understanding a manufacturing distribution company, going back to my days when I joined the industry, is I like the fact of a tangible product, something that you can go out and see be made. Something that's brought to market that involves, you know, going to market, branding, marketing, differentiation, product innovation, things like that. You know, I just remember my first day, you know, going on an inventory observation. That's what you did as a kid. You know, whenever you joined the industry, you had to go observe inventory on it used to be always you had to do it at the end of the year. So there I am, you know, New Year's Eve walking through an inventory warehouse. Going up on those forklifts or whatever, but for me it was good. I enjoyed it because it is a tangible product. But why it's so important is that there's a lot that goes into it. There's a lot that goes from, you know, thought development of a product all the way into to marketing and ultimately getting it to shelf and into the customer's hands. So that's obviously the business side of it, but there's also accounting aspects to consider. You know, everything is driven by cost these days, as you know. Going to market, customers, they could shop easily anywhere, especially with Amazon and online pricing. Right. It's very easy to go in there and cost compare, whereas, you know, back in the olden days, if you wanted to cost compare, you'd have to go to four or five different stores to get the pricing. So pricing really matters today. Product availability matters today. Innovation, differentiating your products. So all those types of things are pretty prevalent today. And what we've seen the last, you know, 6 to 12 months is really even more so is the cost associated with it and how much cost can you pass off to the end user. So again, a lot of that kind of ties into how we service the clients, understanding that and just knowing the industry and speaking with various different professionals and market experts. So economists as well, just understanding where we're going in terms of costing, pricing, and, you know, the whole inflationary period we live through.
Yeah. And I mean, the whole supply chain challenge, problem, whatever term we'll use, which kind of sprung out of nowhere, right? It was just before the holiday season of 2021. And it's just like, it wasn't a fuel thing. It was just like, I'm sure people are turning to you for, you know, your guidance.
One of the things that, you know, some of the feedback that we got, you know, from clients and speaking with others in the industry is, you know, with COVID, a lot of ports were shut down or working at a very limited capacity. So you had, it was a challenge to get things off container ships. The other thing was that with people not going to stores, everything was ordered online. You know, it's, you used to have a certain customer that preferred ordering online, but you also had entire customer bases that didn't take to ordering online. You know, they were just, that wasn't their style of shopping. They like to still go to the stores, right, walk around, touch, feel product, whatever. But when they were thrust into having to shop online for whatever it may be, a lot of them took to it and they enjoyed it and they saw the benefits of doing it. I mentioned cost differentiation before, where they can compare prices, you know, they can get shipped with Amazon's Prime, you can get it, you know, next thing. So the volume then of shipments and everything started to increase. So you couple that with you couple the increased volume with the container backlog, and all of a sudden you got a perfect storm. And what happens is then you had a supply of container ships go down. That there weren't just enough available. So that's when you had the issue with a lot of the increased costing and whatnot. And it was just a compound perfect storm of issues that resulted in what we refer to today as, you know, the supply chain, the global supply chain issues. Yeah. You know, I'm from Long Island. I'm a South Shore guy. Always have been. I do a lot of fishing on my boat. And I remember going out, you go out and sometimes you see like one or two container ships out there waiting to get into New York Harbor. Just last week, I went out there, I counted like 12 ships.
Wow.
Just sitting there waiting to get into New York Harbor. So it's again, it's that supply and demand that are just continuously moving against each other and getting these ships and these container ships emptied is I think one of the biggest issues, the turnaround time. And as you know, then costs go up. I mean, I had some clients that paid, you know, they were spending maybe $5,000 a container the first half of the year, then went three times that, you know, $25,000, something like that, which is crazy to think about.
Right. Right.
And trying to absorb that cost and trying to pass some of that off. So results in a lot of cash flow issues. You know, there's some government funding that helped throughout that process, but it's still a big nut. And, you know, once costs go up, we all know how long it takes them to come back down. So
can you further explain the main services provided by M&D and why they're so critical for any company?
Yeah, our core services has always been, you know, assurance and tax compliance. That's what a lot of our clients need. And that's really our intro into client, you know, whether they have lenders, investors that need financial statements published, whether they be audited, reviewed, or just simply compiled. And then we have obviously the tax compliance work, which is, you know, for taxing authorities, depending on where they do business, you know, federally returns and in all the various different state jurisdictions. You know, our state and local tax department's always busy with now with the Wayfair ruling. A lot of manufacturers, distributors do business all over, you know, with e-commerce now. So even without a physical presence, they could have nexus through business nexus. So that's an area that we've seen increased. And it's through those services that we really build our client relationships and are able to become those trusted advisors, you know, because when you're doing an audit, you're doing a review, yeah. You know, you're really diving in, you're really understanding the business. And especially, you know, like I said before, we lead by industry. So a lot of the people that we staff on these engagements have that background, have that understanding of how an M&D company operates. So, you know, you learn about the company, you learn about how they do business, and that's how we really, you know, stuck to build our relationships. But those are the core services that we provide, is really, you know, the assurance work and the tax compliance, which involves strategic tax planning. I mean, a lot of our companies, especially in the middle market, you know, whether they have private equity investors or whatnot, there's a lot of tax planning that goes into it. We like to look after their entire tax network, not just the business, but a lot of our, you know, we service the core middle market. So a lot of our businesses are owned by individuals. So we have to manage, you know, who have other investments or things like that. So it's really adhering to their entire, you know, we call it their tax empire, you know, everything that they own and that touches them. So
that's a great way of putting it. Earlier in the show, you talked about the private equity aspect that was back in 2021. Perhaps you could really explain and expound on that, how private equity firms are now investing and partnering with accounting firms.
Yeah, I know it might seem crazy, but when you break it down, you understand it kind of makes sense. I mean, when you look at what private equity is looking for, and they've been entering – from my understanding is they've been looking to enter for a while. It just never kind of clicked. But the accounting industry, I mean, like I said, when you think about it, it kind of makes sense. You know, it's attractive, you know, the resiliency of the industry, you know, the recurring work that's there. I think that's kind of drawn them in, and professional services, recurring customer bases and stuff like that. And a lot of them have other portfolio companies in the professional services space that might look to, you know, marry or attach to or bolt on to an accounting service. So we started, even prior to us finalizing our deal, there was another large firm that announced it. They brought in private equity as well. You know, there's rumors that there are a lot more to follow in some of the larger firms. And for us as partners and as owners of accounting firms, you know, we found it very attractive because it's a way to bring in a lot of capital to grow. The accounting industry today, there's a great deal of consolidation. You know, there's a lot of succession planning going on in terms of people retiring out and what do they do with their practices. And, you know, we wanted the capital to grow. We're a firm that has always grown through mergers and acquisitions, you know, looking to find firms that fit our culture. Whether it be a geographical expansion or a service line expansion, we're always looking for talented professionals with a solid core client base to bring in and continue to grow the Citrin Koopman brand.
And I would imagine, I mean, that it's one of the obvious aspects that made this transaction of Citrin Koopman so attractive was the stability. I'm looking at your website. Your firm did an incredible job. Four decades, the stability. That's, I mean, you know, nothing speaks more to stability than longevity of a company. Just nothing speaks more.
And again, it's that capital to grow and take this firm even further. And that's what we're excited about. You know, the prospect of continuing to grow our brand and bring our service to more customers.
We're speaking with John Giordano, partner at Citrin Koopman. You can find out more about their firm by visiting citrincooperman.com. Citrin with a C. Citrin Koopman.com. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
The future that you envision for yourself and your business is totally attainable. You need support along the way. And as entrepreneurs, having a team around you that supports you in achieving what that vision is vital. And that is something that the Covenant Group is committed to delivering.
Most of the times that people come to the Covenant Group, usually it's that they want to enjoy what they're doing, they want to have more quality time, or they want to have financial independence or financial security. My name is Keith Deming.
I'm Norm Traynor.
And we educate and coach entrepreneurs
to build a high-performance business.
We are, in essence, design engineers, and we're helping entrepreneurs design the business that's right for them and then execute.
The idea of having somebody coach you through the hard times in the business and think through what it is to have an inventory of client activity and what it is to build a base of revenue and to think like a business person, it's just not common in our industry.
My name is Mark Parton.
I'm Dean Harder.
I'm Alvin Brown.
I'm Jay Langford.
My name is Luc Godet.
I'm Andrew McKinnon, and I'm building a high-performance business.
And I'm building a high-performance business.
And I'm building a high-performance business.
Building a high-performance business.
Learn more by visiting www.covenantgroup.com.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with the It's Successless right here on 710 WOR and the iHeartRadio Network. Thank you for joining us here. Tonight's guest is John Giordano, partner at Citrin Cooperman. And we are discussing many areas that John oversees, in particular accounting and insurance services, M&D, manufacturing and distribution, property management, retail, wholesale, construction. Wow, and maybe if we have time, we'll get to construction a little later. That's so fascinating because of political changes and so many other factors. People don't realize, John. I imagine you could speak about this more. How many different aspects ultimately boil down to having an impact? Whether it's import export, whether it's construction, the fact that maybe the war overseas, political changes. Or, sometimes something that it, God forbid, a fire in a plant, and suddenly the ripple effect. People don't have a certain product on the store shelves. This baby formula. I mean, like, so many things could be triggered, and sometimes by something that seems insignificant.
What's the old adage? Every action inspires an immediate reaction. I can't quote it off the top of my head. That's what I always think about, because you're absolutely right. Because any little thing could have the ripple effects that you're referring to. But yes, 100%.
Yeah. Now, could you please explain the concept of turning receivables into cash? How can that lead to projecting cash flow for a business?
Yeah, so it's a concept that's always been looked at, especially for a manufacturing distribution client, or really any client. You want to turn into cash, but when you're dealing wholesale distribution, it's not like retail where I buy something and I get paid right there. Whenever I distribute wholesale, it's typically on a trade receivable. A lot of our clients in various different people in industry, they do credit checks and whatnot, and they offer trade credit. So the trade credit goes out there and they'll sell product to them, and then they'll have to wait on that receivable. It could be 30 days up to all the way up to 60 to 90 days to get paid on that cash. While turning receivables isn't a new additive to the accounting industry, and anybody listening to this that's an accountant knows, like, what are we talking about? It's just been so important over the last, couple of years because of where we've been, that a lot of it's been stretched out. Customers going through a tough time, having receivables outstanding, having to worry about customers going out of business and not getting paid on those receivables. So the concept of turning receivables into cash is important, and especially when projecting cash flows, that's your inflow. That's your cash. That's when you think about cash flow, I always like to boil it down to inflows and outflows, right? Ins and outs. So turning that receivable, like I said before, when you sell a product in wholesale distribution, you're not getting paid on the spot normally. There's some COD transactions, but let's put those aside for a second. Right. Let's just talk about a typical sale is I sell you product, you agree to pay me in 30 to 60 or even 90 days. So I got to wait for that cash flow. So I got to manage that. Right. Like, that's my inflow. And then I got to stack that against all my outflows, vendor payments.
Sure, staff.
If those trade terms differ from my customer trade terms, I got to balance all that out. plus my employees' salaries and benefits. You know, if I have levered debt, you know, I have to make sure I pay that timely, you know, with the interest. So there's all sorts of outflows that you stack up against that. So that's why turning receivables is so important. You know, during the COVID pandemic, we saw a lot of clients that were fortunate enough to get some government assistance that was significantly needed in terms of whether it be the payroll protection program loan or the employee retention credits. So those were big cash inflows that helped offset some of the lag in the turning of the receivables. But as those government programs start to subside, you know, it becomes more prevalent to turn those receivables. Like, you have to make sure that we're getting those cash payments in. And hopefully, you know, that incubator of those government programs help stabilize and keep our clients, customers solvent enough to make payments and turn all that. But like I said, it's a game of inflows and outflows. So turning that cash is important in stabilizing the business and able to meet your trade credits, because vendor payments have to be made, or otherwise you're not getting product.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, going back to what we talked about before break, Yitzhak, is with the global supply chain issues, you know, we often had some clients or you know, that had to take an inventory even earlier than expected before they were able to sell it. So then you have a mismatch of everything. Yeah. Then you have everything that's all off kilter, you know, because if it's taking me a certain amount of time to get it here and I know I'm going to need it, you know, sometimes you're ordering product before you're even able to sell it, before you even have a sale lined up. So you have increased warehousing costs and handling costs and stuff like that. So that's why it's so important in managing that cash flow.
Now, this really leads to an obvious question, and that is to discuss inventory management. Now, as you said, the obvious, I mean, you don't want to order too much inventory ahead of time, because then you just have to store it. And you also have the risk of if they're, I mean, we know horror stories of people that ordered hand sanitizer based on the, right? And they have storage facilities with a few million dollars of product, and it's not moving now because, thank God, it's over. Can you share your perspective on that inventory management, the kind of do's and don'ts?
Yeah. Do's and don'ts, you know, it could vary. Best practices, they could vary. Yeah. It's really understanding the business and, you know, one of the biggest things is, where are those products sourced? Where are they coming from? You know, if it's overseas from the Far East or something like that, you know, you got to deal with, you know, your lag time, you know, could be 120 days of on the water time. So during the pandemic, when you had that global supply chain crunch, you know, it was easy to forecast sales and what they thought they were going to sell, but it's really, when do I bring that product in? And you don't want to lose customers. You don't want to have stockouts. That's the biggest issue. Like, that's the biggest concern, you know? So they were taking on more and more inventory to have on hand, which leads to, like I referenced before in the previous question that you asked, just to repeat it quickly.
Yeah.
Warehousing costs, handling costs, all that cost, plus, you know, everything compounds, right? So if my AR is turning slower, I got to take on more debt. You know, I got to draw off my working line of capital, my working line of capital loan to have that cash flow to meet those payables and whatnot, because I'm not able to even sell that inventory and turn it into a receivable yet. So there's a lot. There's a lot to manage in terms of not only inventory, but the cash flow, as we spoke about before. It really is, it's a cycle that we found those that managed it were able to succeed, really. I mean, just being agile and being able to forecast and project. We helped a lot of clients out with cash flow projections, you know, and there were so many different variables to go into there, because a lot of things weren't run like how they've historically been run. You know, some clients have perfect forecasting in terms of lead times and when I'm getting product in, but all that was thrown off kilter. It was totally operating out of, so now I'm bringing an inventory to date, and the date that I'm going to turn that inventory, because how the cycle typically goes is inventory goes into receivable, turns into cash, right? Because I bring it in,
right?
I sell it on trade credit, and then I collect on my trade credit. So that whole system got delayed. And it got dragged out from both aspects. It got drawn out from the inventory hold time to when I turn it into a sale, to my turnaround time, my cash turnover, which was what we talked about before. So when you have that, then you have vendors that still need money to produce goods. You know, they want to get paid. So there's only so much flexibility there.
That's right.
So they had to take on additional warehouse space to hold this stuff. They had to take on additional lines of credit in order to pay for it, which carries with it the interest costs. Thank God interest rates at the time were
low,
you know, a lot more manageable the way they're trending today. So yeah, it's a cycle that needs to be, and the word is management. I mean, you have to be able to manage it. You need a strong core finance team, especially in these middle market companies. You know, it's headcount is always something to get watched, but you know, when you have a company that operates in the M&D space, you really need to make sure that you have a good, you know, procurement team, accounting team, and operations team running the warehouse.
Now, John, earlier in the show, you touched on a pulse survey. You have me intrigued over here. Can you tell us about the yearly pulse survey and what are some key findings and other benefits as it applies out there in the marketplace?
Yeah, Yitzhak. The pulse survey was something that we kind of thought of, you know, from a firm leadership perspective in the M&D space. We kind of said, a lot of our clients and prospects were asking us questions, right? And it was around the time of COVID. And we said, you know, if our clients are asking us, there's got to be a whole slew of people that want to know these things.
That's right.
So, you know, we did our research and we really didn't find any good surveys out there that addressed it, you know, in terms of there was, you know, economic surveys and whatnot, but nothing that really honed in on core M&D clients. So we said, you know, we should probably, you know, for our clients' sake, for our referral sources, you know, we should really put something together that kind of addresses the questions that a lot of the industry is asking right now. You know, it was a very time of uncertainty. Nobody really knew which way was up, which way was down. You know, they were throwing around the term the new normal, which always drove me crazy. But yeah, that's what led us to conduct this survey is, you know, there was a lot of unanswered questions out there in terms of how to succeed, how to navigate these very different times that really nobody has gone through before. So that's what led us to put together the pulse survey back in 2020. And it gained a lot of traction and notoriety. So we kept it going on an annual basis. Now we're in our third year of doing it. So we like doing it. You know, we poll about 200 companies in the manufacturing distribution space on various different questions. Doing it for our third year, we're able to establish trends and whatnot to see, you know, how things are changing year over year, what things are holding true. So it's been an exciting thing for us. It's a good boost of thought leadership that we enjoy putting together.
Part of what's offered at Citrin Cooperman. Yeah.
Yeah. And this year's, you know, in terms of the key findings that we had, you know, this year we titled it, you know, the rewards of agility. You know, we found that the companies that were the most agile, you know, that were able to, you know, you hear that term pivot a lot, you know. Yeah. How did you pivot? How did you adjust? How did you adapt? So we found that those that were able to be agile and pivot showed the most favorable results in being able to do so. You know, a lot of it is monitoring product profitability. You know, we saw a lot of companies doing that, having multiple product offerings, a lot actually investing during this time, you know, introduction of artificial intelligence, you know, to be more efficient in the warehouse and whatnot, and taking simple processes. And it's becoming more and more prevalent now with, you know, the where we are in terms of labor shortages, you know, finding things that could be done, you know, through artificial intelligence, tighter forecasting. You know, we talked about cash flow earlier. So being able to forecast well, and the expansion of online offering. So those are just some of the things, but, you know, the whole report's up there if anybody wants to take a look.
Tonight's show brought to you in part by Citrin Cooperman. You can find out more information about the firm by visiting citrincooperman.com. Citrin with a C, C-I-T-R-I-N, cooperman.com. We're speaking with John Giorgiano, partner, co-leader, manufacturing and distribution practice at Citrin Cooperman. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
If you're installing hardwood or SPC or WPC vinyl flooring, do it with the highest quality products. PC Hardwood Floors, the hardwood flooring leader, has been supplying flooring professionals with the highest quality flooring materials for over 40 years. The knowledgeable team at PC Hardwood Floors will ensure that your materials will arrive at your job site by our own fleet trucks, hassle-free. With 7 locations in New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut, and next-day delivery, PC Hardwood Floors is the tri-state area's preferred full-service hardwood flooring distributor. Call 866-369-3232 to find out how PC Hardwood Floors can help you find the right hardwood products and finishing supplies for all your flooring projects. For a free consultation, call 866-369-3232. That's 866-369-3232. Or visit us at pchardwoodfloors.com. That's pchardwoodfloors.com.
Ever wished as you're sitting alone in a corner at one of those networking events that you could connect better with other people? Ever beat yourself up because you didn't speak up again at that meeting? Or been sweating buckets terrified before a presentation because you aren't confident about your public speaking skills? We've all been there. The good news is, you can change. For over 100 years, millions of lives have been transformed because of our courses at Dale Carnegie. We develop people's confidence, leadership abilities, communication skills, public speaking skills, and human relations. Both our public courses and customized corporate workshops have proven results. We all have goals, but only a limited amount of time to reach those goals. Let Dale Carnegie help you get there. For further information, visit us online at dalecarnegie.com. That's dalecarnegie.com, where you can explore all the training courses and regional locations that are available to you. dalecarnegie.com.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Ian Sixapolis right here on the Voice of New York, 710 WOR, and throughout the world on the iHeartRadio Network. Thank you for joining me. My guest is none other than John Giordano, partner at Citrin Cooperman. And he shared a tremendous amount of information. We still have quite a bit coming in the last segment of tonight's show. In case you tuned in late, no worries. By Tuesday morning, the entire episode will be up at MYBRadio.com and your favorite podcasting channels, iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, etc. And in the next few weeks, it will be up on YouTube. And, of course, those that are subscribed will automatically be notified. On YouTube, we're at 710 WOR, Mind Your Business. John, let's jump into lease accounting. What is lease accounting, and how does it impact the company's financial statements? Do leases need to be disclosed? Kind of break that out for us, please.
Yeah. So lease accounting now is a hot topic, because of the changes that are coming through. For public companies, they've already gone through this change, but effective for financial statements beginning after December 15, 2021, it's now effective for private companies. So really January 1, starting, those companies that started this year are now required to adhere to this new guidance for lease accounting. Accounting for leases has always been, you either have a capital lease or an operating lease. Capital leases were viewed as to be that almost as if you owned it. So it would go on your books as an asset and you'd have a corresponding liability for that lease payment. There was a criteria that you'd have to go through to determine whether or not it met the accounting for a capital lease. And then operating leases were just expensed as incurred. There was a concept of straight lining of the leases, which basically says if you have any free rent or rent holidays, that gets, you know, smoothed out over the term of the lease. So your rent expense each period is the same. But there was no other accounting for it other than just running it through the P&L as it was incurred. And there was some disclosure requirements in terms of the future minimum lease payments that you were obligated to over a 5-year period and then thereafter. So anything you contractually had a lease for, you were required to disclose if it was an operating lease, how long each payment that you would have over the 5 years and thereafter that you were contractually bound to. Fast forward to this new codification, this new guidance, it's now that all leases have to be evaluated and belong on them. Anything over 12 months, any lease that spans over 12 months has to be evaluated and become either a capital lease or an operating lease. They now change the terminology to be a finance lease or an operating lease. But now both are required to go on the balance sheet. The capital leases or the finance leases will stay the same as they always have. The criteria changed a little bit, became a little bit more broader for meeting the classification of a capital lease that will go on as an asset that gets depreciated and a corresponding liability. The change really is about how operating leases are looked at. Now operating leases are now required to go on the balance sheet as well as right of use assets and a corresponding liability for those. So that's those are the biggest changes and adapting that and going through the adopting that and going through that process could be a tedious exercise for financial reporters.
And now earlier in the program, you talked about some of the other core services provided to manufacturing and distribution companies. What are some additional services that are currently of high interest to clients in the M&D space?
Yeah, so just to touch on that a little bit. So as I said, I'm co-lead the manufacturing distribution practice here at Citrin. So I get to see a lot of what we're doing for clients, not only with my own book of business, but in converging with my partners and stuff like that. So there are some areas that are really hot right now. We've been doing a lot of business in transaction advisory because of the hot M&A market for manufacturing distribution companies. So our transaction advisory services has been pretty robust these days. A lot of cybersecurity work. Also, M&D clients are always a target for cyber threats. It's funny, you know, a lot of our clients think, why would they want me? I'm just a small manufacturer distributor. Right. You know, I only do $50 million in revenue or whatever it might be. But you'd be surprised how many people go after those types of companies for whether it be a quick score or, you know, taking over their data and looking for ransomware. So and then another area is strategy and business transformation. A lot of our clients, you know, they're poised for growth. And when you go from a $50 million company to a $350 million company, it takes a lot of infrastructure to go that way. You know, it just doesn't happen overnight. So working with them and understanding their policies, procedures, headcount, and everything that goes into it, setting up the right infrastructure for that type of growth to be achievable is something that we've seen a lot of work in, whether it be overhauling an entire ERP system, you know, whether they're on a small reporting package or they just need to grow into a larger package or they need more financial reporting to run their business now because data, as we all know, data is king.
Yep.
So they want to capture more data and be able to operate analytically, looking at product profitability, stuff like that. So transforming that business and helping them to grow and building that infrastructure has been an area that we've seen a lot of work in.
John, can you please explain what is transaction advisory services? What is that?
Transaction advisory services really help clients or prospects when they're looking to enter into a transaction, whether they want to buy a company or sell their company. So one of the biggest things that's done now today, you know, we see a lot of private equity investing in manufacturing distribution companies. So there's a term called due diligence that we do. If you think you're buying a home, right, before you buy that home, you'd want a surveyor to come in. Right. An inspector comes in to look at various different things. That's essentially what it is. It's a due diligence process of looking at that target company. We do a lot of quality of earnings studies. You know, financial results are produced by the seller. You know, we do a quality of earnings studies to add some validity to those numbers so that the buyer could feel comfortable that what's being delivered or what's being sold is what they expect to be purchasing. So we do that on both the buy side and even on the sell side. We have a client that's looking to sell. We'll help them position themselves for sale and, you know, take all that knowledge that we have of aiding companies in buying, saying, hey, this is what buyers are going to be looking for. This is what they're going to be focusing on. We got to make sure X, Y, and Z are taken care of if you're going to bring this company to market. And aside from that, it's deal structuring, you know, how the deal is going to be structured, tax structuring, reviewing of certain documents and giving our take on that. You know, what's the tax ramifications of it? You know, what does it mean from a business sense? Looking at what have to go into escrow and what a waterfall would look like upon sale. So there's a lot that goes into that transaction advisory bucket. But the core services that we see there are due diligence work either on the buy side or sell side and quality of earnings studies and business valuation work. You know, if you want to value your business, see what it's truly worth. We have specialists that do that. We've seen a big uptick in that because whether they want to buy or sell, they want to know what the value is.
We're speaking with John Giordano, partner at Citrin Cooperman. We have a couple minutes left. John, before you touched on this, and this is, it's so unfortunate, but it's a reality. Can you give us perhaps some examples about cybersecurity threats as it relates to M&D?
Yeah, like I mentioned before, they are a target. Many of them don't think that they are. I'm not the Home Depots of the world. I'm not the Targets of the world. What would they want from my data? But they have the ability. They know that they, meaning, you know, hackers, the importance of those companies and how their supply chain is their lifeline. If you hold that up for a minute, they're typically going to try and pay to get that back because any delay in their process. So they become very accustomed to ransomware. That's what people want to do, is they want to hold the data, let you not operate your business, and hold you for ransom. But the other thing that we're seeing now, which is even crazier, is they'll find ways into a system and they'll just sit there and they'll wait and they'll do nothing, you know, and they'll sit and they'll monitor activity. They'll monitor email activity to see how people converse. How do you transact business? Who do you deal with? Who are the key points of contact? How does the CEO speak when he writes an email? And they'll monitor that data and then they'll find the perfect opportunity to construct an email that looks, feels, tastes the same as that would be a regular email from the CFO or CEO saying, hey, it's me, I'm on vacation. And they'll know they're on vacation because they're watching. It's me, it's on my vacation. I need $50,000 overnight. And that's the way that they'll attack some of these companies, which is absolutely crazy. But
it's so scary. So if someone has received emails, an email like that, does that mean that they are being stalked?
No. I mean, we've done a lot in the education side of this. You know, you should have dual verification in some regard. If you get an email like that, you know, you'd hope that person has a sense to call up and verify via verbal confirmation or something like that. And then we've seen some instances where some clients have hired us to come in and be an ethical hacker, try and find ways into their system and then give a report on, you know, how did you get in, areas to tighten up. But the dual verification is key now. I know Duo and all these various different types of security are interjected into our everyday life, you know, whether it be in business or even on the personal side.
As we close out, something you touched on before and is really key to any business, the idea of strategy and business transformation. Sounds like a big term, but at the end of the day, every business has to be thinking about that. What are some takes on that, John?
Yeah. Like I said before, it's really helping clients understand where they are and where they want to go. Transformation is just that, you know, building a strategy and helping that business transform. So I think I gave the example before, if you're a $50 million company and you want to go to a $350 million company or a $500 million company, you can't necessarily do that in that $50 million environment. You have to be able to adapt. You have to be able to grow. You have to be able to transform your business to be able to build the infrastructure to do so. So that's really what we do, is we see a lot of companies that are poised for growth, that want to take that next step. So we help them understand how do you get there? You know, and it's sometimes looking at the policies and procedures, or maybe it's not just to grow. Maybe it's just to become more efficient. You know, I had one client called me up and said, hey, look, we're having this issue with managing our inventory. We can't seem to manage our inventory. Spent a few minutes on the phone with them, talking back and forth. And I said, I don't think you have an inventory issue. I think you have an ERP problem. You know, the way that you're holding your data and the way that you're tracking your inventory and how it's moving through your system, I think that's the real issue here. And lo and behold, you know, as we kept digging, that's what it was, is that their financial reporting system and their perpetual for keeping their inventory was not operating to the capabilities that they needed it to be. So, you know, we helped them with overhaul their ERP system. So that's what it is. You know, you think you have one problem here, and as you keep pulling back the onion, you get down to the root cause of it, and you see that it could be an even deeper problem.
And you know what's great about that example is that sometimes it needs an outsider to see it. You know, the CEO is like...
Exactly, yeah. You know, they came to us saying, we have an inventory management issue. And that's what they firmly believe. And, you know, we had the conversations and whatnot. We asked all the who, what, whys, wheres, and whens, and just kept going, digging down that pain funnel, if you will. And we're able to figure out what the root cause of the pain was and help them with it. So, and it was something that, yes, it was effect. They were looking at the effect, not the cause. So,
what an incredible show. Man, the time flies. John Giordano, partner at Citrin Cooperman. John, how could people find out more about the firm?
I think the best place to go get sick is our website. I mean, it really houses everything. Like I said, our marketing team here at the firm did a phenomenal job in overhauling it. It'll bring everybody through the industries we service, the services that we provide. Whether you're looking for a specific partner or director here at the firm, everything's really housed on there. All our thought leadership is there by industry. You know, like I mentioned, the pulse survey, that's up there. Any webinars, anything that we've done is really housed up there. So I think that's the best place to start. And we even have contact information on there and whatnot. So we closely monitor it. So
CitrinCooperman.com, Citrin spelled with a C, C-I-T-R-I-N, Cooperman.com. Special thank you to John Giordano, who shared incredible perspective here, partner at Citrin Cooperman. Well, this wraps up an amazing edition of Mind Your Business. In case you tuned in late, no worries. By Tuesday morning, it will be up on all the popular podcasting channels and on our platform, mybradio.com. Tune in again next Sunday night for another great edition of Mind Your Business right here on 710 WOR, the voice of New York. Have a successful week.
710 WOR and the iHeartRadio Network present Mind Your Business, hosted by the president of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Saflis. Founded in 1992, Bottom Line Marketing Group is a strategic, creative, and execution-driven marketing agency, helping businesses by clarifying and promoting their vision, mission, and purpose to support its lead generation and customer retention initiatives to gain market share in their industry. Mind Your Business focuses on business and marketing strategies for success. Tune in every Sunday evening at 10 p.m. for this intriguing radio show as Yitzhak interviews Fortune 500 executives, business leaders, and marketing gurus from a wide variety of business industries. Now, Yitzhak and his guests offer their knowledge and expertise to help you be successful every Sunday night on Mind Your Business.